Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. In this episode, we are going to be discussing visibility into your operations. We're talking transparency with your data. And of course, we have to talk about AI because everyone's talking about AI right now. To help us learn more about this, we have Arunab from Lenny joining us today. Welcome to Beyond Rent.
Thanks a lot, Joe, for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in studio and recording this episode with us. We've seen each other out and about in the industry. We've had a lot of really good conversations. So I'm looking forward to continuing those conversations here on the podcast as we learn more about how we use our data and how we better operate within our industry here. So before we get there, let's get to know you a little bit better. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience.
Thanks a lot, Joe. My name is Arunab Dasidhar. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Lenny, which is a data intelligence and AI layer for real estate industries. Before I get into, you know, what we do, a very small way of actually introducing myself is I'm an engineer turned into asset manager and then realized there is a big challenge which the engineer in me can solve for. So I personally started coding when I was 13, went to one of the top engineering colleges, built and sold one business by the time I was 26 in very specific engineering way. And then somehow decided to do MBA and got into real estate investments and realized I came from 21st century to 1800s in this sector where basically you see all of these decisions are being made without much of the transparency across data sets. So I handle close to $1 billion of real estate assets and realizing that, oh, most of my decisions are relying on Excel sheets, which are put together by this array of analysts who are reporting to me from like multiple different systems. And most of the times it was like all backward looking. I couldn't make sense of some of the things which I wanted to do to de-risk my asset or to actually do a new acquisition. And I thought like there should be a solution, you know, like it's always out there in like most of the sector, there should be a solution that should help me to make better decisions and use my data, give me the visibility. I should not be calling my analyst every single point in time. I need something to be done. And they give me, oh, I'll give it to you in 3 days. I don't want that. How can I improve this? And that's what is the genesis of what we do, right? Like providing that uninterrupted visibility within your portfolio operations that enables you to be better at managing and operating and acquiring real estate.
That's great. So I love stories about how people get started in different industries or different roles or starting different companies. So your story is great because you started, you said engineering, so you are more focused on the technology side, building solutions, starting at a very young age doing that, yeah. Right? So you have a lot of history doing that. And you found yourself in a situation that you probably never thought you'd find yourself in,
yes.
And realizing that there just isn't a solution out there for you. So you are, I guess, a very inquisitive person by nature.
Very to say, curious.
Hey, how can I go solve this? So talk me a little bit through, I guess, that process. You said you had analytics or analysts that were providing data to you, but it was slow and it was hard to manage. What did that mean for your business at that point? Were you not moving as quickly as you could? Were you possibly losing money on deals because you didn't have the right type of data?
It's both. And sometimes you don't know what you're losing on because you can't see it. it was consistently one of the evening when it actually was, I would say, the straw on the back was like I was taking a call on a $150 million repackaging deal with some of the bankers and my Excel just crashed on Zoom call. And I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. We were still able to work through. I said, okay, we'll get back to you on email. And we went through like stuff and like got that thing across. But it just hit me in a way where it's not only for that business we were losing or leaving money on the table. We were also consistently seeing there were errors in some of those data sets, which would, if not got in time, would lead us to actually delay a disposition, which we should have done, or not change a third-party property manager who's not performing how it was they were supposed to perform on. So it was a combination of, yes, we were not able to make decisions quickly, but also we were losing money because we were not able to make decisions quickly, right? And the solution was pretty obvious because I come from different industry before real estate. I have seen these solutions work like tremendously empowering and flourishing those industries across board as well.
Yeah, that's great. And because what I do love is when people see an issue and then they go solve it, and they don't just solve it for themselves, they try to solve it for other people as well. And
yeah,
obviously that's what you're doing. So let's dive in and let's talk about visibility with data and visibility into the operations of the business. And when I think about that, I think there's a lot of challenges that people face, but I want to hear from you. What are some of the most common pain points or maybe things that people need to be looking out for as far as red flags that maybe you don't have the visibility that you need to have? Are there common symptoms of a lack of visibility into their operations and data?
Yeah. If you're picking up a call every time you're making a deal and calling someone to find that, and they are getting back to you saying, oh, I'll give it to you by the end of the day or in 3 days to bring this up, you have that problem, which is pretty much the case with a lot of people. I was talking to one of our clients who basically was acquiring an asset in Baltimore. And they already had a multifamily building in Baltimore. During that conversation, I have seen him pick up a call their CFO like 5 times saying, you know, I have a building in Baltimore. How's this occupancy been like from when we acquired to like lease up? And how's the collections have been? What's the delinquencies and things like that? And not all the answers were like right away with the CFO himself. And it was, like a slower decision-making process. So if you find yourself in those areas, you definitely are in there. One of the things which a lot of people, and I know we are going to talk about AI and like how the buzzword has come in, I don't, and we as a company, we don't really go explaining AI before we talk through our understanding of it. And when we started, we are a very AI front and center company. We are part of this amazing incubator called Vector, which is headed by Geoffrey Hinton, who's recently won a Nobel Prize in AI. So we know AI so deep that we just hate the word being thrown out like that in the industry. So visibility can be improved on a lot of layers on understanding the current innovation which has happened in the industry in terms of machine learning models, deep learning models that can help you improve those visibility at much lower costs than before. And that's where I feel the opportunity is now versus 10 years ago, where you can use the technology in the right way in providing you that level of visibility across your data sets and do it in a much faster and cheaper manner.
Yeah. We definitely want to talk about AI, and I'm glad that you feel the way you do about AI, because people do talk about it a lot. And sometimes it's a little confusing. What yes. is AI? What isn't AI? What's being called AI? And I think we should talk about that. But you mentioned data sets. So let's define what that means as far as an operator in the business. What are the data sets? Yes. Where do they live? What are the ones that are most important to what you see as viable for our industry?
So a lot of our user base come from ownership groups and owner operators, where they are usually working with multiple third-party managers. And most of those managers are in different kinds of systems, and some of them could be on Excels on a smaller or single-level property. And what these owners on a regular basis see is they are getting, if they're working with 3 third-party managers, they're getting literally 15 individual reports in their inbox every week from each of them. So you are getting 45 Excel reports. And it's very cumbersome for most of the asset managers on their GP side or sponsor side who are working on it to put that together and go into, go into the reporting, right? So either reporting to the executives or to their LPs. All these systems include things where it could be property management systems. It includes your CRM systems. It includes your, leasing systems. If you're using any marketing tools or marketing channel mechanisms, it includes Google spend and all those kind of different things. And time and again, as you go, upstream in your growth, people have started doing best in class on a lot of things, right? And that also increases these systems which hold different kinds of data, which don't talk to each other. So now what happens? Those 15 Excel sheets have now become 25 Excel sheets. And then you're just under a tremendous pressure in actually bringing them together. And once you bring them together, we have seen the entire journey. Some of the people have said, oh, yes, we have brought that together. It's on our Azure instance. But what do you do with it? Because now the data is there, but still it's not actionable. And the journey from actually bringing all that data together to making it actionable, empowering your team to make better data-driven decision is also a journey which you as a real estate company need to take if you're trying to build it like in-house or trying to build it actually yourself. And it's a long one, I would tell you that.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. And I know even in my experience with much smaller data sets with much, I would say, different information, anytime I've had to put a lot of effort into compiling data and putting it into a spreadsheet and trying to get any type of information out of it, the more effort that I put into that process, I actually find the less likely that I am to use it to make decisions because I've really, I guess, expended all of my energy getting the data, compiling it, that I no longer have the energy to look at it and analyze it and make a decision. And I think that's what you're kind of saying there. Like you've pulled it all together and now you've already used all your resources. You don't have any resources for action.
Yes, I actually give this example to a lot of people. How our goal is to make asset managers as Ironmans, right? Like, so the tool is the Jarvis, right? So you are the superhero who is actually deciding, working through things, understanding, is on the war zone, knowing what they need to do. But data is your tool that Jarvis, which is the centralized thing, which Ironman wears to actually know what's going on, which direction the missile is coming, what is the power, some other, basically destruction is working on or anything like that, right? I've not seen the movie for a long time, so finding it hard. But that is what our goal is. It's basically you spend your energy in actually strategizing and working as an asset manager and not doing the grunt work of actually bringing that data set or just hiring analyst after analyst to actually do that work. Because the more humans in terms of data ingestion and bringing those together manually you do, the more chances you increase of errors, which, percolates up to your decision-making. And you don't want to do that wrong, right?
No, it's so true. And when you talk about bringing data together, we all recognize that no one is using one piece of software to run their business, right? They're using many, if not dozens, of different pieces of software. So you end up with data all over the place. And even if half or even 75% of those integrate with each other, they're not syncing all the data. There's still data that you need to pull out. So very valuable there. Now the error side of things. Help me understand how what you're doing is resolving the error side. Because I do agree, and again, this is my experience, every time I have a large set of data that I'm manually working with, my level of confidence in the end result goes down, right? Because of the human element.
Yes. So the thing is, there are a few things which humans are super good at doing. It is basically understanding, reasoning, doing things that what A to B means in what context. Humans are the best people to understand context because they can process a large amount of context and get to the decision AI up until now cannot do that, because even though AI has the knowledge of the entire world right now, its learning is not as efficient as humans. And then we, with very little context, can make more, I would say, wiser and more informed decision. That is what is like literally our superpower, not bringing in data, not automating that. And it's very easy to mistake on that. Whatever system does in terms of bringing that in, we have models which does error reporting while you're bringing in data. Somebody might have mistakenly put 50,000 instead of 5,000. It's very easy for people to put another extra zero on things when you're inputting. But it's as easy for AI models to scan through your data and detect anomalies and flag them. And that's a part of your visibility enhancement, because some people, when we start talking to them, they say, oh, I know, my data is garbage. I always, like, that's a very common thing. They like just say that to us, that my data is garbage. What we have seen, some of our clients, actually, the ones who were saying my data is garbage, has told us that as soon as they improve that visibility, that was the first step to actually remove the garbage. You should be able to see the garbage to remove it. And once it became actually clear to the people and they were able to consume the visible, transparent data from their systems, they were saying, oh, that number doesn't look right. I might have done some mistake. Let me go back and actually fix it. And then you automatically start getting the flags from the system as well. This is an anomaly. Please look into it. So then you are actually using your resources to automatically fix those things, because the person who is inputting things, not necessarily deliberately making those mistakes. It's a genuine mistake. And if they see that in front end, they were the first people before anyone in the executive can go and actually check it, are actually fixing it. So it has improved tremendously those error rates. For one of the clients, we have saved over $150,000 of errors, which we were doing in the last 6 months itself, which was happening across board in their tools. And most of these systems are like black boxes, because once you have input something, to go find where it is wrong, it's just impossible, right?
Yeah, and I love talking about errors and data integrity, because your story there of like so many people say that their data isn't good, and they almost use that as a reason not to use a system like yours, right? Because they're like, well, my data isn't good anyways. Why would I spend money to aggregate bad data to get more bad data? But your point is, once you have it together and you're using the right system, you can start understanding your data and find the bad data.
Yes.
Because currently there's no easy way to find the bad data unless an issue pops up.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what, like, we have seen this in our journey of actually implementing and seeing. We have seen people turn from saying, oh, my data is garbage, to say, oh, now I can see the garbage and act on it immediately. That's the biggest thing. Like, you know, and then their error rates have gone down significantly because everyone in their team are now aligned and have transparent visibility of what they're inputting, right? And what is those numbers looks like. If it is 50,000, there's a flag right now. Okay, perfect. Like, we can fix it as quickly as possible. You cannot, like, totally eliminate human error, but you can fix them as quickly as possible before the issues come up.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to talk about AI. And perfect. You kind of brought that up earlier as far as what is AI, how is it used? And I really, really appreciate the fact that you've already said that humans are really good at certain things. AI is good at other things. And there is kind of a difference there that we need to recognize. So maybe tell me what your view on AI is right now. Like, what is it? Maybe what it isn't? And how you're viewing AI in our current market.
Yes. So most of the industry, the buzz and what has made AI such mainstream is essentially OpenAI, which are conversational model. We call it large language models. Large language models, one of the first paper of large language model was actually done by Geoffrey Hinton. He wrote the paper that led to the Transformer paper that Facebook came about and Llama came in. That's why the institution is called Vector Institute, because every word is defined as a vector. And what those language models do is they're statistically finding the next best word to be put in terms of in terms of the next word, word to be put in terms of language, right? So it's super good at finding the right word, looking and qualitatively defining things. What it's super bad at is math. And the hallucinations come with math, right? And it still tries to go through those reasoning. And now even the newer models have come on and done some of that reasoning part, but it cannot do math because the foundational models of that is not designed to do math, right? So, but there are other things which have existed pretty much since like the 80s because NASA have been using those and some of the, you know, premier institutions have been using those were the deep learning models. So artificial intelligence is basically form of finding next derivative output from a set of inputs which are given to it. And what is the next derivative output in terms of deep learning is a neural net model which takes into everything which is happening in consideration and gets out that, okay, based on this all consideration, this is what should the result should be. So it writes the, what do you say, the equation itself based on different weights and things like that. So most people talk about is large language model-based system. What we in real estate really need, that is good for people understanding on the side of like language learning models. But what we in real estate need is models that can help us predict, prescribe, understand, do the trend detection, do the anomaly detection, which is very math heavy because what are we doing day in, day out? Running performa models, right? Like we want to understand how it is going to affect my bottom line. We want to understand how it is going to impact my next acquisition. We want to understand what the value or like assets under management, how I can improve my AUM. That's what I want to know, right? So from our understanding, it is a combination of those good machine learning models that can help you do all kinds of mathematical churning, your scenarios, and all those kind of good things in comparison or in compatibility with the language learning model, which can make you, help you digest them in a human language format. And that's the combination which works the most. And it's not either or in one side or the other. We have had people who come to us and ask actually recently during Optic as well, okay, you know, the Copilot, which is coming up in some of the areas where like, what would you do with the Copilot? We have Copilot with Microsoft and things like that. Again, those are large language model based things. Don't do math. You want to do math, right? And this is how you need a combination on the AI side, which have been existing and how we are using the language learning model to convert it into actually more digestible way and all.
Yeah, no, thanks for breaking that down because it is a complex topic. And when I talk to people, I get the sense that most are using it for, I'm going to say language-based results, right? It's a writing assistant. It's an idea brainstorming tool.
Yeah.
Crafting emails and policies, things like that, because it can predict the next word well. Where it starts to fall apart is if you try to get a little bit deeper with that. But what you're saying is it's important to know where it's good at when you're using something like Copilot, where it fits, where it doesn't fit. Now, what you're doing at Lenny, you're saying that you can use some AI to help predict anomalies and things like that. Are you also getting to the point where you can use it for some of the math? Or is it still other things that are kind of doing the calculations and the performance and things like that?
Yeah, so we do. So the way how we have structured our layer, our AI layer, it's actually a combination of four buckets of models. And then the conversation model can run on top of all of those and can also exist individually. So the conversation model is good to very easily retrieve data quickly. Right. So if I'm again giving an example, if I am calling our CFO to actually ask how's the occupancy of that building in Baltimore, I'm sitting in Florida, it should not be a call. It could be a text to this AI model, which can retrieve data quickly and give you a human language response. That's what you're trying to do as an owner of a company. Right. You don't want to go through charts and graphs. BI is not the solution. You don't want to go to oh, I should look at a chart. I'm never going to do that. Like, I run a company. I never look at charts, right? But if I'm going and trying to understand this result, I want to text it and it should retrieve the data very quickly. So that's what a conversational model is good at. Without sharing your data, how can we retrieve the data and then weave it into a human language format? Because you still have system of records, because all of your data is sitting into your PMS. So everything is right there. It's retrieval. So that's the first layer. And the second layer is the machine learning models and deep neural net models that can help in essentially anomaly detections, in if there is a spike or anything else, how it is working. Seasonality detection and forecasting, so trends. It can do the math saying, based on what has been happening in the last 5 weeks in your particular marketing channel, you might need to move your budget from A to B, because that is where your trend is going, okay? Then the third one is more about your predictive models, where based on what's happening, what can happen. So prescriptive is this is what's happening. This is what you can change. Those are recommendation engines. Those models have always been existing. Netflix uses a lot of it and a lot of other companies use it. Those are designed for actually doing mathematical inferences, better statistical model, have deep learning aspect to it, which can actually improve over time based on the feedback you give. So it's already doing that. And now with the growth of conversation and language model, which was the missing part in this whole equation of math to humans, I would say, that actually becomes the relativeness, right? So you derive something as an anomaly. Anomaly is a number which is coming out of that. And then when you feed it into our models, our language models, it can actually simplify it for humans to understand, okay, this is what's going wrong, right? So we at Lenny, in our AI layer, provide access to all those four areas. And a lot of, we definitely get answers on some people that, oh, you know, there is some question in the industry around AI and rentals right now and AI and a lot of, residential activity. Do we have to interact with AI? I said, no, you don't have to, because you pick and choose the models you want to deploy and how you want to deploy on top of your data sets.
Yeah, and I love that you're explaining the different layers and models and the fact that it's not as simple as some may think it is, yeah. Right? That you just apply AI and somehow you just like add AI to software and it just starts solving problems for you. There's still a lot of human interaction on that development side and engineering side to make all these pieces work together. And it really tells me that we are achieving really great things right now. But as we, as humans, get to know how to use these tools better, there's so much in the future that we'll be able to do. And your first example there of asking a system for a data point is a great example of that. And I actually think that's what I often think is going to be a great resource in the future, is be able to ask your system, you know, what is my occupancy today versus Q4 of last year? How many units do I have available now versus this? Or based on recent trends, what will my occupancy be in 3 months from now? That you'll be able to put in prompts and it'll return the data to you, because the data is there. Like you said, it's just on a chart or in a graph or in a spreadsheet. It's in a format that's just not easily consumable, or at least not quick to get to, unless you know exactly where that one data point lives, that AI can just pull it out and hand it to you in a package that is very consumable.
That's right. And that's what you can do right now on our platform.
So you're doing it right now. A lot of people aren't doing those things right now, right? A lot of people are looking at AI as, well, I have ChatGPT and I just type things in there. And there are some applications of AI in different pieces of software, but there's a lot of, room to grow, and only a handful of companies that I think are doing it on a deep level like your company is. So when you start to think about the future of your company, real estate, and maybe technology as a whole, how is data going to be viewed differently? How is AI going to be used differently? And I mean, in the near future too, in the next 12 to 36 months.
I don't know. A lot has changed in the last 5 years itself. And I'll tell you, because in 2019, we conceived the idea me alongside my co-founder and one of the co-founders went to Columbia, comes from very deep private equity background. And I was the only one at one of these large industry conferences talking about this concept of how data should be consumed and brought together. And in the 5 years time horizon, you can see how everyone now are talking about data-driven decision-making, right? And you can see I'm so optimistic about this industry. The biggest change which has happened with this new interest rate environment and new difficulties the industry has faced is they naturally have actually moved towards making decisions and finding competitive advantage within their data. And the role of a CIO in today's day and age in these companies is much more than fixing CEO's computer. And that's basically, I'm so happy that now the industry is really seeing the power and value of that reset into the technology. Now, how I see the next 10 years play out is some of the things in the industry would not change. The systems which are in there, the point solutions which are being offered, they will improve, but they will majority be same, right? The PMSs would be the same in the next 10 years. But what will change is the lot more of those decisions will be done instead of having a gut feeling to actually looking at the data and doing it. And the transactions will remain the same, but the way they would be done would be faster in emerging markets, wherever you can see how Austin is playing out versus, North Carolina plays out. And people will be able to allocate capital much faster because the data is so easily available and consumable. And this has happened before in a lot of industries, like the finances, the Wall Street of the world has changed from seeing the information a day after to like now pretty instantaneous. You can see everything in a stock price is reflected as soon as the news comes out, right? So that's what is going to change. One, because like a lot of newer generation which is entering the industry are digital natives. The wealth transfer which is happening in the industry have grew up with data, with digitization and technology. So I do think this is a great reset for the real estate industry. And I think in the 10 years time horizon, we can still say that, yes, this industry has caught up quite a bit, specifically to make data as their competitive advantage.
Yeah, that's great. And I do think technology is how we catch up. And I do think that it can also really impact the cost that are associated within the industry. Like you said, the ability to move capital faster means there's a lower cost to doing that and to the actual investing side. We can go on and on about how it can impact construction and all of those things as well. But I do think it's going to impact those things. And we really need a lot of companies to get on board with this idea of having more visibility into the data, being able to map and merge data, put it in a place that it can be used and utilized. And I think Lenny's doing a great job of paving the path there.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I do think like now the future real estate companies would be very efficient, more asset class. Our goal is to bring this $43 trillion industry to $120 trillion industry in the next decade and how we can contribute in that efficiency and that GDP growth and that prosperity is going to be great in the journey going forward.
Yep. Well, there's definitely a housing shortage out there and especially affordable housing shortage out there. So anything we can do to speed things up and solve for that, I think will be great. So, well, as we come to the closing of the episode, how do we learn more about Lenny? How do we learn more about what your team is up to? What's the best way for people to reach out?
Yeah. Visit us at lenny.co. You can also go to the Rent Manager website. We are official partners. Check out our page over there. Reach out to us on either on our website or Rent Manager website portal, and our team will be in touch.
Absolutely. Great. Well, thanks for all of the information today. It's been a great episode. I've learned a lot. So definitely make sure you check out the websites mentioned or check them out at a local, or I shouldn't say local, but national industry show. I know you're traveling a lot and going to a lot of shows over the next few months and even into the future. So make sure you check out what Lenny's up to. Well, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And thank you to our audience for joining us as well. And until next time, keep going beyond rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going beyond rent.